I'd like to welcome onto the show right now Mr. Phil Goff, Leader of the Opposition. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Spanky.
Nice to have you on the show with us this morning.
Good to be back.
Now, are you hot under the collar at all about National's deal with the Maori Party over the emissions trading in iwi?
Yeah, I think it's a disaster for New Zealand. Just looking at the paper this morning, actually, the Dominion and even their own former chief press officer, Richard Long, saying this is a deal that gives a special privilege to one group and shouldn't be happening. Carl Dufresne, who's normally on the National Party's side, saying National has bought Maori Party support for its dodgy climate change legislation at the expense of the taxpayer. Hey, look, what really worries me, Spanky, that the government's own financial advisers, the Treasury, say that this will cost New Zealand $110 billion, and the government's actions has taken that cost off the polluters and put it on the taxpayers.
Isn't it true, though, that they were really trying to avoid any nasty in-court settlements, weren't they?
No, that's just the smokescreen that was put up. I've got a copy of the legal opinion that was given to the government through the Crown Law Office, written by Helen Aikman, QC, who's the foremost expert in this area. She said there is no evidence that the government has not kept to its undertakings. There is no basis for a Crown action, an action against the Crown that would succeed. The government has ignored its Treasury advice as to cost, ignored its legal advice as to the fact that it has not broken its obligations. It's given a handout worth probably up to a couple of billion dollars to a narrow group of iwi and corporations simply to win the votes of the Maori Party. But worst of all, it's committed New Zealand taxpayers to $110 billion, more than the total sum that would have been needed to continue funding superannuation, not to cut ACC, not to to eliminate adult and community legislation. Why have they put the priority for New Zealand at subsidising polluters, and why have they put that burden on the taxpayer?
I guess they've tied a lot of land up, haven't they? I heard another comment today saying that as food will become something that's more and more the backbone of what New Zealand does, we're going to have all of these thousands of hectares locked up in trees, when maybe it would be good in the future to be able to release that for food, but I guess we won't be able to do that.
Well, I'm not too worried about that aspect. I mean, if you've got marginal land that isn't particularly good agricultural land, what we should be doing is planting it in sensitive areas in native bush and areas where you might want to crop it later on in radiata or whatever might be appropriate. There will be an increased demand for food. That means that we've got to keep increasing our productivity on the land that we use for dairying, etc. But what we've also got to do is send the message very clearly to the producers, whether it's producers of aluminium or producers of food, that if you keep very high levels of pollution emission, then you're going to have to pay for that. And if you're going to have to pay for that, you're going to very quickly look at ways of doing it more efficiently and more cleanly for the benefit of the environment and for the benefit of New Zealand economically. The National Party has bought in a system based on market signals and then blurred the market signals by putting the cost on the taxpayer, not the polluter. That's what we should really object to.
Now, Phil, I see that the Labor Party, you're launching some sort of research or investigation into homelessness in New Zealand. Is that true?
Yeah. This is they're looking, I think, to do something through the Select Committee about the causes of homelessness. By and large in New Zealand, most New Zealanders should be able to get access to affordable housing. That's what we've got Housing New Zealand for. But clearly there's a category of New Zealanders who become homeless, some short term, and they've often got children, a lot of dependents. We've got to take that seriously. Some longer term because of associated problems such as drug and alcohol abuse. I think the objective of this inquiry is to work out how best to deal with both of these sets of problems in a way that we will not see in New Zealand, as you see in too many big cities around the world, homeless people sleeping in doorways, sleeping in under shop fronts, sleeping under bridges, etc.
Some people, like the homeless people, you know, you see them on documentaries, claim that it's a lifestyle choice. Now, we know that isn't essentially true, because that lifestyle choice does seem to be linked with with drug use, alcohol abuse.
Yeah.
But do you still see that it is someone's right not only to have a home but also not to have a home?
Well, I don't think that you can put up with a situation where people in the middle of winter are sleeping out in the elements, obviously requiring to be hospitalised at a certain point at a huge expense when they contract pneumonia or whatever. I think, you know, what you have to do with that element of people is address the cause of the homelessness, which, as you and I have both agreed, is usually drug and alcohol abuse. But, you know, I don't think it's great for the people and concerned, and it's certainly not good for the city, to have that sort of homelessness around the city, people begging for support, people urinating in the streets.
Oh, that's
so
terrible,
on.
Isn't it?
Well, it's about the nature of the city that you live in, plus the nature of the conditions and what people are doing to their own bodies, their own health, and their own well-being. It's a combination of those things. So neither is desirable.
I guess we've all urinated in public places and not felt proud of it, haven't we, Phil? It's different than doing it every day.
Well, I suppose it's never particularly desirable if somebody else is walking past the deed after the event.
And you're there, and there's a rubbish bin, and you're
I think the critical thing, though, leaving aside that aspect of it, the critical thing is, you know, for people to be living in that sort of lifestyle, damaging their health, you know, without the basic necessities of life, you can't tolerate that. And it's often not because there's a lack of alternatives. You know, you've got things like Auckland City Mission that'll provide that help. But it's a combination of what the addiction problem does, and therefore how people react to that. So, you know, let's find a way of attacking the cause and not simply treating the symptom.
Hey, Phil, it's been a pleasure talking. Today is Evolution Day. How would you like to see humans evolve in the next million years?
Oh, I hope that the genes that create compassion and tolerance become much stronger.
Well played, my friend. Well played, Phil. Well played. That's good. Well, nice talking, and we'll catch up with you later on.
Yeah, catch up with you in a fortnight.
Thank you.
Cheers, Banky.
See ya. That's Phil Goff there. And pretty much publicly denouncing urinating in public. I think that's a press release. I think Artie, you'll be putting that.